to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, November 18th, 2018.
Get to this time of the church year, we start to hear lessons about the end of the world, about the end of things, about wars and rumors of wars, destruction, calamities, famines, earthquakes, all the good stuff that carries us through the beginning of December. And I was reflecting on the fact that this gospel sounds a lot like the newspaper today, doesn't it? I mean, you look at the calamities that are going on, and it can feel overwhelming. I was particularly moved, being a Californian, at the images of the horrific, destructive wildfires, not only in Northern California, but also in Southern California. The entire city of San Francisco essentially shut down on Friday because the air quality was so bad. It was the worst air quality in the world on that day, surpassing even places like New Delhi, which is infamous now for air quality. Watching a whole town be completely obliterated, the town of Paradise in California, it just weighs on your heart and mind when you see these images. And there are all kinds of calamities going on. I mean, it's not just that. It's wars, it's terrorism, it's, I was talking with a couple guys before church, I was looking at a statistic that there have been on average in America in 2018, one mass shooting a day. Over 300 mass shootings in America this year. This, I don't know about the history, but it seems unprecedented. It seems worrisome. And so I think if you're like me, all of this cumulatively builds up in your mind and in your heart, and you think, what is going on? Is this really the end, or is some, what else is going on, or just that we get to, I get kind of numb, actually. I can't really process some of the disasters. My compassion is kind of, the well is run dry. It's a horrible thing to say. I have compassion, but it's hard to just keep feeling it over and over when there's a new incident, it seems like, every moment. What I want to say is I was reflecting on our scriptures today. We can see them as bad news. We can see them as yet more calamities. But what I was really thinking about this week as I read these scriptures is the world changes all the time, and yet the world never changes. One of the really hopeful signs for me of the gospel and of all of our scriptures today is that Christians and people of faith, you know, you think of the Old Testament, the Jews, they've endured throughout history many worse calamities than we have ever faced. You look at the book of Daniel. This was written during a time of terrible persecution. The people of Israel had been conquered. They were under the thumb of the Babylonian Empire, and they were being horribly oppressed. And the book of Daniel is written to give hope and endurance to people who are suffering. Suffering is not new. Suffering is not a modern phenomenon. The things that we are going through today, as horrible as they seem, are really no different than what people have been going through in every age and every generation. And the scriptures offer hope in the midst of calamity. The book of Daniel, the book of Psalms, the letter to the Hebrews, which has, I wanted to quote it correctly, so I got my bulletin out. I just love this this ending of this passage from Hebrews. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day of the Lord, meaning the time when God is going to bring to fulfillment this world and usher in the kingdom of God in all its glory. This was on Jesus' mind as he was teaching his disciples. They had come to Jerusalem for one of the festivals, and they were looking at the grandeur of Herod's temple, this amazing edifice. You can see a model of it. If you come to Israel with me in November, in Jerusalem, they have a scale model of the temple as it would have been in the first century to scale. And it's absolutely phenomenal. You can imagine these disciples who were essentially rubes from Galilee, they'd never seen a building more than one story, suddenly confronted with one of the most amazing buildings in the ancient world. And they were just in awe. Look at this gigantic, enormous building. This will last forever. And Jesus says, you have no idea. He knew that within 40 years, that grand temple, one of the glories of the ancient world, would be destroyed by the Roman army. He could see ahead and know that no building stands the test of time, that there was going to be all kinds of upheaval, the destruction of the Jewish people. You think of Masada that happened during that same time. There was going to be this catastrophe just around the corner. He could see that. And yet, his words to his disciples are full of hope. He talks about wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, calamities. But then he says, and I find this so helpful, these are but the birth pangs. Think about that. There's probably, I was only a witness, but there's probably no more physically painful ordeal than labor and childbirth, right? It is, it's a natural process. It seems totally unnatural to me as an outsider. I'm watching my wife go through this. And yet there is, at the end of that struggle and suffering, such joy and new life. And I think this is what Jesus is pointing to, that all of this calamity is preparing us for something glorious. That God's kingdom, that God is still in charge of this world, that God's kingdom is coming, and that if we can endure with faith and hope and steadfastness, we will see the glory of God. I was reading also, this kind of resonated with me. I remembered reading about the training that the U.S. Army gives soldiers in a key quality that they notice makes for successful soldiers, and that is the quality of resiliency. Resiliency is the capacity to endure hardship without being destroyed. That ability to bounce back and to have within yourself that inner strength. And so they actually analyzed this, and they worked with the University of Pennsylvania to develop training in resiliency. And they found that there were six core competencies for resiliency. And I wanted to read them to you because I found this really helpful in thinking about this whole question of how do we deal with the calamities of this world? Because, you know, there's the global calamities, but then each one of us has our own personal calamities. There are times when our lives are falling apart, when we get a diagnosis that is totally upends our lives. When a family member goes through a crisis or deals with addiction, when there's a death in the family or a death of a friend or whatever it is, we all are going to face our personal calamities. How are we going to have the ability to endure and to bounce back? So they said these are the six competencies. The first is self-awareness, the ability to pay attention to your thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and your physiological reactions, that kind of fight or flight response. Self-regulation, the ability to change your thoughts, emotions, behaviors, and physiology in service of a desired outcome. Can you get control of yourself, even in the midst of great stress? Mental agility, the ability to look at a situation from multiple perspectives and to think creatively and flexibly. That goes away when you're under stress, right? You lose the capacity. So those who are resilient keep that capacity to be able to think more imaginatively, even in the midst of stress and chaos. Strength of character, to use one's strengths to engage authentically, overcome challenges, and live according to one's values. Sometimes under stress, that goes out the window. Can you stay true to your principles, your core, in the midst of great stress? Fifth is connection, the ability to build and maintain strong and trusting relationships. That's key to having a sense of resiliency. Are you an isolated person? Are you a lone ranger? Or are you someone who is connected to other people, supported by other people, and can support others as well? And finally, and I found this one really helpful, optimism, which I would say is more like hopefulness. The ability, even in the midst of dark times, to notice the positive, to focus on what you can control, and to take purposeful action. So often in a catastrophe, we feel like victims, we feel helpless, we feel like we have no agency. But those with resiliency focus on what they can control and take positive steps that they're able to do. I would argue that these six competencies for resiliency are actually things that are fed and strengthened by a robust spiritual life. The habit of coming to church, of immersing ourselves in the scriptures, of receiving communion, of building Christian community, all of these practices which go back to the time of Jesus and even the antecedents in the Old Testament, all these spiritual practices are what give us these core competencies and resiliency, at least partly, that they're a way of training ourselves to endure even dark times with hope and steadfastness and faith and trust in the God who is the God of history and the future, the God who is bringing about his glorious and wonderful kingdom. Faith is what enables us not only to endure, but to see beyond our present troubles to the glorious future that God is bringing to birth in the kingdom of God, and to live and to sacrifice and to endure with that ultimate goal in mind.